Okay, so we're going to begin now. We're going to talk about the Mishkan and work. See, the Ramban writes in his introduction to Sefer Shemos that Hinei HaGalus Einenu Nishlam Ad Yom Shuvam El Mekomam Ve'El Malas Avosam Yeshuvu. That the Galus, the exile, that began in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, because the Ramban famously writes that the book of Shemos is the book of Galut and Geula, the book of exile redemption. He says the exile is not finished when they leave Egypt. It's not finished ad yom shuvam el makamam ve'al malat avotam yeshuvu, until they return to their place and to the stature of their ancestors. U'kshiyatzu mimitzrayim, when they left Egypt, afal pi shiyatzu mibeis avadim, even though they left from the house of slaves, adayin yechashvu golim, they are still considered exiled in Galut. Ki hayu be'eretz lo lahem, they were in a land that was not theirs, Nevuchim Bamidbar, wandering in the desert, Uchshebol Har Sinai. And when they reached Har Sinai, Va'asu HaMishkan, and they made the Mishkan, V'shava Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'hishra Shechinato Beinehem, and he caused the divine presence to dwell amongst them, Az Shavu El Malat Avotam. Then they returned to the status of their ancestors. So even before they reached Eretz Yisrael, building the Mishkan, and God's Shekhinah dwelling among them, that is returned to the level of their status of their ancestors. V'az nechshavu gulim, and then they're considered redeemed. V'lachei nishlam ha-sefer hazeh b'hashlimo inyan ha-mishkan v'yot kvod Hashem malei oto tamid. And therefore, this sefer is complete when we complete the concept of the Mishkan and the fact that the glory of God filled it constantly. So the building of the Mishkan is a fitting culmination of Sefer Shmos. It's the final step in Gula. So the question I'd like to speak about a little bit is, what have we achieved? And so one way to look at this, there are a number of ways to look at this. I'm going to focus on one way this evening. And one way to look at this is the connection with Shabbos. So in Vayakhel, right, this is a double parsha, in Vayakhel, the Torah tells us, the beginning of Yaakov, Yaakov Moshe has called us B'nai Yisrael V'yomar Lehem. Moshe gathers all the B'nai Yisrael and he says to them, Eila ha'dvim asher tziva Hashem la'asot. So some of these are the things that Hashem commanded that we should do. He's referring to the Mishkan. And then he says, Sheshes yamim te'aseh b'lacha, 6 days you should do work. And V'yomar Shvi'i yalachem kodesh Shabbat Shabbatot la'Hashem. On the seventh day is a Shabbos for God. Kol ho'seh bo melacha yumat. Anyone who does melacha will die. So one way to look at the relationship between the Mishkan and Shabbos: 6 days we build the Mishkan, 1 day we rest on Shabbos. So you could look at this as Kedushat Makom and Kedushat Zman, right? The sanctity of time and the sanctity of place. For 6 days, we are creating a sanctity of place. We're creating a Mishkan where Hashem Shechina will dwell, and that's so it's specifically localized to that place. However, in the seventh day, the whole world is a Mishkan, as it were. It's Kedushat Zman, there's Kedusha in the time. And so that's one way of looking at this. In other words, you can look at the relationship between, let's say, Shabbos and the Mishkan, and say that there are different ways by which we can encounter God. We can either encounter God through time, or we can encounter God through space. But maybe there's another way to look at the relationship between the building of the Mishkan and Shabbos. Not about the end product, but about the method. In other words, 6 days we work, and the seventh day we don't work. And maybe 6 days there's Kedusha of Avodah, of work, and the seventh day is the Kedusha of Shabbat, of no work. Again, we generally assume the first, Kedushat Zman, Kedushat Makom, Kedushat Zman. But I'd like to argue this evening that maybe, and we'll try to develop this idea, that really, that there's Kedushat Avodah, the Kedusha of work, 6 days do work, and then on the seventh day, that's the Kedusha of no work, of Shabbat. And Moses Mendelssohn wrote a commentary to Shmos. He was, people say he was the founder of the Reform movement. He himself probably was a modern Orthodox person. But this was like 300 years before that existed, or 200 years before that existed. But he wrote a commentary, and he made
it interesting. His grandkids are already not Jewish.
What?
His grandkids were
already
grandkids
not Jewish. Yeah, his grandkids are not Jewish. So he himself...
He himself was,
correct.
He was like an Orthodox guy.
He was a modern Orthodox guy. He was very involved in
the second... He was friends with Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
Yeah, yeah. So he writes the following... He makes an interesting comment, and he says, this is in his... He had a translation / commentary to Shmuel. It's called the Beor. And he says, and it's obviously translated this in English, he says, just as Hashem commanded his people to consecrate their firstborn, their first fruits to his name, and Chazal have remarked, there is nothing whose beginning is not sanctified in heaven. So in other words, the firstborn animals, or the firstborn people, go to God, as it were. First fruits go to God. And everything, the beginning, is sanctified. So too, he wanted them to dedicate to him the first fruits of their thinking and all other talents pertaining to establishing a society and to consecrate them to his service. In other words, what he's arguing is the Mishkan also achieved sort of like a Bikurim for Avoda. Remember, this is the Bnei Yisrael are now a free people, and they're going to be free to do whatever work they want. They're not slaves to power anymore. So just like you offer your first fruit, your first product to God, so he wants to argue in some sense that the building of the Mishkan is also achieve a Bikurim to their Avoda of the people. That and I think you can think about this a little bit, that this idea that in Parshas Bereishis, right, we are told Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Hadam Vayenichenu beGan Eden laOvda uleShomra. So we were put in Gan Eden to work and to lishmor. And the Chizkuni writes, what's lavdo? Sheshes yamim tavod, 6 days you should work. Ule shomra al shem shemor at Shabbat, guard the Sabbath. V'chenu lavdo b'sheshes yamim ma'aseh l'shemor b'yom Hashem she'en bo avodah. We work, Hashem created for 6 days, and we work for 6 days, and the seventh day there's no avodah. So, in a sense, the act of working and then guarding that work through not working, reflecting on that work, is something that began in Sefer Bereishit, and now that was charged to man. And now, after Bnei Israel are created as a nation, they are perhaps challenged to do the same things. Create, do avodah for 6 days. The seventh day, don't do avodah. And perhaps to be matish, to sanctify their avoda, this idea, the first avoda goes to God. Now, what's the idea of bikurim going to God? Once you're saying that my first fruits go to God, what are you really saying? That really everything I have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, the first avoda that Klal Yisrael do as a nation is going to God. So therefore, all of our avoda goes to God. And I think it's interesting that all of the categories of malacha are part of the Mishkan, right? The Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Beis Amud Alef, says, "Amai kari le'av, mai kari le'tolada." What is called an av? So one opinion is, "Hach dehave b'mishkan chashiva kari le'av." Whatever was in the Mishkan is called a primary category of malacha. "Hach delove b'mishkan kari le'tolada." If it wasn't in the Mishkan, it was called a tolada. It was a secondary act. In other words, the Mishkan reflected all, if something was done in the Mishkan, this is a primary melacha, that this is a primary act. And in fact, there the Mishnah Shabbos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Beis, lists 39 melachos. And what does that mean, 39 melachos? Means that all categories of melacha are part of the Mishkan. In other words, what don't we do on Shabbos? The 39 melachos are, number one, they reflect all categories of malacha that you don't do on Shabbos, and they reflect all categories of malacha through which the Mishkan was built. So presumably, what is it doing? What's the communication of the Torah? The communication from the Torah is that these 39 categories of malacha represent all malacha. So what's actually happening is, every category of malacha that we do, or every primary category of malacha that's involved in our lives, what are we doing? We're dedicating it to God by building the Mishkan. And in fact, maybe this can also explain something else. There's a, you know, many people ask, many of Farshim ask, like, why are we repeating, you know, almost word for word, the building of the Mishkan in Parshas Truma and Parshas Tetzaveh? So there, Hashem tells Moshe, build the Mishkan, build the garments associated with the Mishkan. And Hashem goes into a lot of detail during Truma and Tetzaveh. And then what happens? There's the Cheda Egel, the sin of the golden calf. And the Vayakal Pekudei, what's the Vayakal Pekudei essentially? They did it. They did everything that God told them to do. The Torah could have simply said, we could have saved a lot of space, a lot of time, a lot of words, and just said, and the Bnei Yisrael built the Mishkan as God had commanded them. And yet, the Torah repeats, right? They says word for word, almost word for word, you know, Truma and Tetzaveh. Almost word for word, Hashem commanded to do A, B, C, D, and E, and they did A, B, C, D, and E in all detail. So some would argue that maybe it's to highlight Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. They say they did it exactly. They didn't deviate at all, because the sin of the Egel is that they thought they knew better than God, and they fixed this because they fixed their mistake in Vayakal Pekudei. They did exactly what Hashem told them to. That's why it's detailing that. But the Ramban is a different answer, which sort of fits into what I'm trying to suggest here. Ramban says, V'aklal kol zeh derech chiba v'derech malab. The purpose for repeating everything is by way of love and by way of elevation, lomar, to say, ki chafetz Hashem bimlacha, Hashem desires melacha, umasker osa b'tarasa pabim rabos laharbo schar la'oskin ba. Kadosh Baruch Hu mentions in his Torah a lot of times to increase reward to those who engage in melacha. Torah repeats, they did this, they did this, and this, and this, and this, to highlight the value of melacha. It's not simply melacha for the Mishkan. Again, the melacha of the Mishkan was to dedicate their first melacha to God. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires melacha. Hashem told man in the beginning of time, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do melacha, and then I want you to do Shmirah, which is Shabbos. So this is an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to do melacha. And in fact, Vayakel and Pekudei come after the sin of the golden calf. What happened in the sin of the golden calf? Did they only worship a golden calf? They did something else also. What happens? They worship a golden calf. It says, Vayashkimu, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Vav. The Pasuk says, Vayashkimu Macharas. They woke up from the morning for the next day. Vayalu Olos, Vayagisu Shlamim. They brought sacrifices. This is to the Egel Azav. And then the people sat to eat and drink. And they engaged in tzchok. They engaged in levity. And when does Hashem tell Moshe, you got to get down there, the people are misbehaving? He doesn't do it when they say, Eilelahecha Yisrael, when they worship the golden calf and they say, this is our God. He says it following the last two words that the Torah says before Hashem says, get down here, to Moshe. He says, Vayakum letzachek. They engage in levity. And basically, they engage in tzchok. But the Vayakum letzachek, Moshe, lech reid ki shichei samcha asher leisem eretz Yisrael. At that point, when they're engaged in litzachek, tzchok, that's when Hashem tells Moshe, you got to get down there, because that's the end. Then they are destructive. They become pagan. They become uncontrollable. It was the eating and drinking that led to the tzchok that made them uncontrollable. Now, the truth is, Rashi, you know, on a midrashic level, he says, litzachek refers to gilei arayos. They're engaged in sexual immorality, and it's shvichus dami, they engage in murder, and And so he uses psukim to say there was more than just tzchok. But the Ramban says on a more pshat level, he says, Vayeshev am lachol v'shaso, sheyashvu kulam keachad lachol l'sava v'shaso l'shichra. They ate to be satiated. They drank to get drunk. Kasher yaseh v'chagim v'madim, like they do on their holidays. V'achrechein kamu l'tzachek batzabeyam v'lesimcha. And afterwards, they engage in merriment with their idols and with their happiness. And Ibn Ezra says the same thing, that when Moshe tells Yoshua, Kol Anos Ani Shomea, I hear Kol Anos, it's like Niginos, singing. In other words, the sin of the golden calf that caused Hashem to tell Moshe to descend was Vayakum L'Tzachek, was joyous and boisterous levity. It was the eating and drinking that led to tzachok. And we find that in another place. We also find that by Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, the Torah says, Ve'el atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado ve'yechazu es ha'alokim v'yochlu v'yishtu. That Kadosh Baruch Hu did not send his hand forth, as it were, to the Atzilei. Who are the Atzilei B'nai Yisrael? Navid Avion Zekadim. God was going to smite them. He called Rashi, Lo Shalach Yado. He didn't send forth his hand. Miklal, Shehoyu Ru'uyim Lishtalach Bohem Yad. That they were fit to be killed because of what they did. What did they do? V'yechazu Es Elokim. And they were mistaken bo. They were staring at God, as it were, believed, or whatever vision they saw at Har Sinai, believed gas, with like a thick heart, with like, you know, they didn't care so much. Mitoch achilashi, because they were eating and drinking. They were
gas can also mean coarse.
Of course, yes.
Coarse person.
That's better. I like that. With the sense of coarseness because of their eating and drinking. In other words,
but the Ramban, he goes against that. Ramban says that it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, there's a different opinion.
Right.
It doesn't say Litzachek here either.
No, I understand. But I'm saying that there's this, I'm saying at least some use the idea of Velatzilei, Lo Shalach Yodo, Ve'achlu Ve'ishtu. Right. Some want to say they were Nenem Iziv Ashchina. They were nourished from God. Okay. But it's interesting that the way Rashi at least learns this, he says, once none of an Avihu are eating and drinking, when they should be focusing, when they should be working, it leads to a lack of control. In other words, you need discipline. You need to know when to work and when not to work. You need to know when to be focused and disciplined. And then there's a time not to. That's Shabbos time to reflect. There's time for both. Each aspect of our lives is holy. And perhaps the response to the sin of the golden calf is a sanctuary produced in response to God's command to the entire people that they should be engaged in work, in avoda. Because sometimes when you're not engaged in avoda, that could lead to worse things. Was it idol is the devil's? There's some expression about this, right? If you're idol, that's the devil's work. So, and in fact, if you look at the end of Parshas Pekudei, the Torah says, Vayar Moshe, and Moshe saw Kolam Lacha, he saw the whole work. Vinei Asu Osa Kasher Tziva Hashem Kein Asu. They did whatever God said them, what God commanded to. Vayavarach Osa Moshe, Moshe blessed them. What was the bracha that Moshe gave them? So the Midrash Tanchuma asked this very question. What was the bracha that Moshe blessed the people with? Ma bracha berchan. Rabbi Seinu Amru, our rabbi said, Hashem Elokei Avoseichem. Okay, it's Hashem. It's not going to focus on that. That's one opinion. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yehi Ratzon, Shetishra Shechina B'masa Yedeichem. May it be the will of Hashem that the Shechina should rest in your handiwork. Vehim Amru, Vehi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Umasa Yadeinu Kuna Aleinu, right? That the should be pleasant. Vinoam Hashem Aleinu, and God should be pleasant for us, and our Masa Yadeinu, our handiwork should be prepared, should be correct. Now, is the bracha that Moshe blesses them with is a bracha on Malacha. In other words, they didn't simply build a home for God. they sanctified malacha. Okay? In other words, this counteracted the sin of levity. It's not simply that the Mishkan counteracts the ego, but the malacha, the avoda, the work, counteracts the sin of levity, of achila and shtiya, vayakubu litzachek, that led to the worship of the golden calf. In other words, sometimes you could take the perspective that the Shechina is found in a certain space or in a certain time, right? In the Mishkan or on Shabbos. But maybe this perspective is a little bit different. Then the Shechina is found not only in a certain space or a certain time, but it even can be found in what we do every single day. And the Sfas, and so then what's the relation between Shabbos and the rest of the week, or the Shabbos and the Mishkan? So the Sfas Emes, there's a very beautiful Sfas Emes who points out that Ki Kodem Hachet, see there are Kasum Melechas HaMishkan, Kodem Mitzvah HaShabbos. He says that before the sin of the golden calf, the Melechas HaMishkan was the commandment to build the Mishkan preceded the Mitzvah of Shabbos. Shehayu Yemei HaMasa Achana LeShabbos. That 6 days a week was a preparation for Shabbos. Va'achar kach hutzrach lahakdim ha-Shabbos. But after the sin of the golden calf, right, in other words, Shabbos is commanded at the end of Kisisa, after Truma Tetzava. But after the sin of the golden calf, Shabbos is first in Vayakel, and then the rest of Vayakel Pekudah is about the building of the Mishkan. So why they flip the order? Hutzrach lahakdim ha-Shabbos shebekoach ha-Shabbos yuchlu l'takin ha-Maisa. That with the power of Shabbos, you could fix ma'aseh, what we're doing, our actions, our work. In other words, Hashem realized, as it were, that we needed to understand that even when we're outside the Mishkan, even when we're outside our holy spaces, everything we do, we need to do with dignity, with focus, with precision, even during 6 days of the week. The work that we do can be kedusha, can be kadosh. So he commands us initially to sanctify our avoda. Our first fruit of our avoda is the Mishkan. And then he tells us Shabbos is going to precede the Mishkan. What is that? Or Shabbos is going to precede Malacha. Meaning what? Shabbos is a preparation to help us focus and how our malacha during the week can be a calling. Not simply, okay, I work so I earn a paycheck. No. How can what we do be as holy as it can be? So I think there's another way to look at the relationship between Mishkan and Shabbos. Not simply between Kedusha of place, Kedusha in time, but Kedusha of malacha and Kedusha when we reflect upon that malacha and think about how going forward our next 6 days we can turn our malacha into to make it even more kadosh and turn it into a calling.
It's like Rabbi, it's the same like Hashem created the world in 6 days